Can you be so identified with darkness, so to speak, that you lose track of your essence completely? Or regardless of how far you've gone or who you've been, can you reverse course? Happy Friday. Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee. My name is Rick Alexander. You guys can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram if you want to interact with the show or interact with me at all. And also, if you just want to share the show with anybody that you think might gain anything from it at all, that would mean the world to me. You know, one thing I wanted to re-clarify, which I haven't talked about in a while, is just the fact that this show's not about answers. And I think sometimes I put pressure on myself, even, you know, personal development industry does this, to have the answers for people. But like, I know realistically, just from my own journey, that nobody ever had the answers for me. And in that, for that same reason, because we have different value systems, you know, I could never have the answers for you. So I think really the value is always in asking the questions. And I think I've gotten away from that a little bit. And so you'll probably hear me come back to it a little bit more. And honestly, you know, there's so much value in asking questions about your life, only for the simple fact that if you ask a question, then you draw awareness to something, right? If something can't be questioned, well, then it has to be accepted and it can't be changed. But then you find that you're at the mercy of that thing. And so sometimes it's just worth it to ask the question, whether that's questioning your own thoughts or questioning the way that people are doing something. For example, something I've been thinking about right now, and look, I don't have a dog in the fight as far as reopening the country, whether I think it's good or bad. And I don't know that anybody does, because it seems like there's so much misinformation, like there's so many odd things that are going on. But, you know, I've taken a lot of time to study the subconscious, and that's something that I'm going to talk about in today's episode. And I was thinking yesterday, as I put hand sanitizer on like every 20 minutes for the entire day, like every time I left the house or every time I did anything, I thought, man, so the subconscious here is like, I'm telling my hands, oh, I'm scared. And then I put this on, and you do this every hour forever. And I, you know, like I said, I don't have an answer here. I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't know what happens, but I do know that we should question things. And I know that saying, ooh, I'm scared, to my hands every hour for the rest of my life, that's not a subconscious program that you want to run for any amount of time. You know, that's one of the things that I can promise you. I don't know where that ends up. I don't know where it goes. But I know that running that fear program in the background of your mind for a really long period of time is not going to get you anywhere that you want to be, nor anybody else. So again, I don't know what the answer is. I think right now it's like, okay, just kind of going with the flow, hoping we can get through this thing. But also understanding that, listen, reacting in fear cannot be the answer for a long period of time. Because when people get fearful, they get mindless. And when you start making mindless decisions, you're no longer in control of your life, right? And so that becomes a problem. So just wanted to put that out there, because I do think that we should ask questions about the world that we're living in and the way that fear is being weaponized. And it's something you're going to hear me talk about a lot on the show. So on the old podcast channel, I broke down a Cherokee parable about feeding the wolf within, and today's show is going to talk about that. So I'm going to begin with the parable, and then we'll get into the discussion. So an old Cherokee chief was teaching his grandson about life, and I know a lot of you have heard this before, but it's short, so bear with me. He said, a fight is going on inside of me, and he's talking to his grandson. He said, it's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other is good. He's joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you, and inside every other person, too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf will win? The old chief simply replied, the one you feed. So, like I said, I know most of you heard this parable or something like it before, but I also think it's pretty easy to understand this in your own life. It's kind of another way of saying that our psyches are highly responsive to momentum. This is why if you get in the habit of living your life and making your decisions based on fear, you'll find that the road goes nowhere except to more fear. If you make your decisions with love being your primary motivator, you'll likely find that same thing. The angry get more angry. The prosperous tend to find more prosperity, right? Because by and large, we get what we tune into, and everything in our mind begets itself, right? That's why if you start eating healthy and you start working out, it becomes easier to do those things, right? Because we do work on momentum. However, our psyches do tend not to care at all about the direction of that momentum, right? They're just going to respond to the way that they're pointed. That's what our minds are good for. They're directive minds. You can point them anywhere. You can't tell them where not to go, but you can tell them where to go. But what happens is that we can easily identify with bad ideas, and we'll see that those ideas continue to grow within ourselves. It also helps us understand what people mean when they talk about like demons and possession. See, to the Western mind, something like this sounds far-fetched or even mythical. But the thing to understand about myth is that it's actually more real than reality. Because see, while facts are subject to change, essence always remains. Most people that dismiss the idea of demons that inhabit them might say that they sometimes have anger issues or that they have an addiction to something. To which I would respond that most people who have anger or addiction actually have that backwards, because those things have them. They're like bad ideas that grow stronger the more you feed them. And you know if you've identified too long with a bad idea, because like any demon, they continue to take more of themselves or more for themselves while giving you less and less in return. That's why the high is never as sweet as that first one was. They keep demanding more and more and returning less and less. And what you see over time is that people will obliterate their natural essence, another way of saying their soul, because they've identified with a bad idea for so long. It's taken all of them while giving them nothing in return. Right? Cue the homeless, drug-addicted population. It continues to take, and you get less and less in return. Now, don't get me confused here, because I'm not pointing this out as a moral failing or any other, like, quote-unquote, bad idea that we identify with as such. What I'm saying is that this is how these things appear to work. Greed only begets more of itself. One doesn't operate out of greed and then simply arrive at a point where they have enough, right? It's more of a way of being than it is a destination. So you should ask yourself, the road that you're on, where does it go? The envious don't one day look around and realize that they've had it all wrong and that they're perfectly adequate while everyone around them gets more and more. That's just not how these things work. And I do believe that this is because they don't have these things. Again, these things have them, or us in this case. So my question today is, if you spend years, even decades, feeding the wrong wolf, can your light be extinguished completely? Can the good wolf die? Can you be so identified with darkness, so to speak, that you lose track of your essence completely? Or regardless of how far you've gone or who you've been, can you reverse course? Now, I'll tell you my answer, but I also will tell you that such a question could be life-changing to answer for yourself, right? Sometimes we tell ourselves that we can't change, and that's a story. But if we started feeding a different wolf, maybe we'd find something different. My personal belief is to say, no, I don't think you're ever not redeemable. You always have the option to begin feeding the good wolf. That's what I believe. But that also means that the one you've been feeding is strong and well-fed, and the habits that are life-affirming, they're going to have to be nurtured back to health, so to speak. Remember, it's a battle. That's why the parable describes it as a battle. One starts getting stronger, the other starts getting weaker. This parable highlights what I believe is worth further examination. One of the most popular episodes on the old channel was asking the question, do people change? See, I believe that the word change is far too definitive to describe the actual nuanced process that people improve themselves by. Abraham Maslow, the founder of formalized study around motivation and self-actualization, described the process of personal development as two steps forward and one step back. And so, you know, if your litmus is concrete change, whenever you take a step backward, you're likely to throw the baby out with the bathwater and abandon your efforts, and it's clear that you didn't change. You could just think about some habit that you've allowed to exist in the shadows, right? You feed the bad wolf, and then you realize, I don't want to do this anymore. So you start to do the right thing. Well, you got a strong demon on your hands, right? And it's got you more than you've got it. So it starts to pull you back in, and you backslide, because we all backslide. Now, if in that moment you realize, see, that's why I can't change, you are correct. And that's why I think change is such a difficult word. It's not that it's not technically true, but it's just a word that's hard for us to get through. Instead, it's more accurate to imagine that there's an idealized version of yourself somewhere in the future. Now, this is you if you'd fulfilled your potential in every area that you would like to. It's far more accurate to say that every day you're making a choice. You are either evolving toward or further away from that idealized version of yourself. And you can add all kinds of judgment about right or wrong or how expedient you should pick up new skills or any of the million reasons we use to beat ourselves up. But we should also recognize the lack of utility in adding shame or guilt to the growth process. Instead, we should recognize which wolf we are feeding and then proceed accordingly. And listen, I'm saying this because it's important to recognize that you aren't up against some fatal battle that you can't win. You've just strengthened behavior for one reason or another, and that behavior has given you a certain result. You can start feeding the good wolf at any time, for any reason, in any way that you want to. There's a good quote by Carl Jung that says, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life, and you will call it fate." Now, if it's fate, then you're a victim, and there's nothing you can do about it. But if it's subconscious behavior, you can become aware and change directions. Can I say out of these two paths, which is true for you? Of course not. Only you can do that. I can tell you though, from personal experience, if you start to let go of your demons, you'll start to let go of you. Anyway, I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk Monday on Morning Coffee. We'll be right back.